Hey, I know we've been talking about broken hearts for the last couple weeks, and we talked a little bit last week about what our response to a broken heart should be and how we can give that broken heart to God and he can do some cool things with it and then he can take it and spread it. But so I want to start tonight with what exactly is the beginning place for all of this. And there's a passage in James that... You ever play this trick on someone? They'll ask you a question, but they don't ask it the right way, so you don't answer them right? Or they'll say, like, hey, can I do this? And you go, well, I guess you can. I don't know. You're supposed to say, may I do this? Right? Or they'll ask you something, and you know what they're looking for, but you don't give it to them. You know, I think sometimes we think God's like that, that he's waiting for us to ask the right question. And if we just could figure out how to ask it right. And I got to think about how that applies to us in the middle of heartbreak. Think about the last time you had your heart really broken. Whatever the reason for it was, whether it was something that you look back on now and say, man, that was stupid, or you look back on it now and you still go, man, that really broke my heart and I still don't know exactly what to do with it. And think about those moments where maybe in those times of heartbreak, you cried out to God to do several things. One of the things that we usually cry out about when we've had our heartbreak is we ask God to make the pain stop, right? God, don't let it hurt so much. The problem is that's not what God's desire is, and that's not God's promise to us. Or we'll say, God, give us back whatever it was that we've lost that's broken our heart. And we ask him and we beg him, please do this and please do this and please do this. And we have this whole big litany of things that are our prayers in the midst of heartbreak, and none of them happen. And we end up landing at this point where we just kind of say, well, whatever. I just guess it'll take time for me to heal from this. And I really don't think that is completely what God wants for us. As a matter of fact, I know that that's not what God wants for us at all. If you've got Bibles, you're going to turn to the book of James. I'm proud of you, man. Book of James. Not the book of Eli. Don't turn to the book of Eli. We don't want you going Eli on us in here. That's okay. It's a movie with a dude that kills everybody. Yeah. Yeah. All right, in James chapter 4, he's talking to these people about how they're fighting and they're quarreling and how they have these horrible desires inside them, and it causes these fights with their friends. And he says this in verse 3 of James chapter 4. He says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Now, if we take this principle that we don't get what we ask for because we ask with the wrong motives, and we couple it with the teaching that Jesus says, ask whatever you wish in my name and it will be given to you. Don't those sound like opposite things? Doesn't it sound like James is saying you don't get because your motives are wrong, and Jesus is saying ask whatever you want in my name and you'll get it? James is saying you don't get it. Jesus is saying get whatever you want. The thing is, Jesus said in my name. And anytime you do something in someone's name, what you're saying is I'm doing this the way they would do it. And if you remember Jesus' prayer in the garden in John, right before they carried him off to crucify him, his prayer was, God, not what I want, but what you want. And so what we have to do is in the midst of heartbreak, if we really want to wrap our brain around how do we get through heartbreak, we're going to talk for the next couple weeks about prayer. I know that it seems like we say prayer, and if you're around church or around Christians, you hear the word prayer all the time. As a matter of fact, back when I was in school, back when we rode dinosaurs to school, I know it was a long time ago. Did you say I'm fat and old? Gah, that's horrible. Haley, you're going in the suitcase now. Oh, yeah, there's rejoicing in the front row. We would start every day of school with a prayer and a Bible verse and then the pledges. Now it's that moment of silence where you may choose to call out in whatever language you want to whatever higher power, blah, 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 blah. I did hear one guy at a football game that said, so now we'll have our moment of silence. If you would like to use this moment of silence to perhaps say, like, pray to God for this, 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 and this, asking him during this moment of silence to keep our players safe and to do this and do that. And basically what he did was, he said a prayer as a, you might want to try something like this during your moment of silence, which was really funny. But we hear the word prayer a lot, but sometimes it escapes us because we're not exactly sure what prayer is. We think prayer is talking to God, but listen, prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is communicating with God. And there are a lot of things in the New Testament where it talks about how to pray and when you pray and when not to pray and how to not pray. And we don't do any of that. We come to these moments of heartbreak and we just kind of cry out to God. Sometimes we sit and we don't know what to say. But our motive is for him to take the pain away. Or our motive is to get back whatever we lost. Our motive is not, God, if this is something you want me to go through, then you'll give me the strength to go through it. And God, my prayer is that I'm going to sit silently now and ask what it is that you're trying to teach me and let you talk to me. Or my prayer time in this time of heartbreak is to get your Bible out and read the Psalms and see how you dealt with heartbreak in all of your in King David's life and in the lives of the people who've experienced heartbreak before. See, we come to heartbreak and our motive is to get us out of it as quickly as possible and to get things the way we want them. James says God's not going to answer that prayer because that's not his motive. You ask with the wrong motives. So I want you to turn to Matthew, and we're going to spend a little bit of time here, and then if I have time, we're going to hit a couple other passages. One of my favorite passages in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. Now, he's doing it in the context of there's thousands of people around listening. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says this, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." You catch that? What's the motive of the hypocrite when they pray? To be perceived as spiritual. Okay? God does not honor the prayer that's given for people to think you're spiritual. Okay? Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. They wanted people to hear them. Guess what? People heard them, but who didn't hear them? You know, sometimes we think that God hears every prayer, but did you know the Bible teaches in the Psalms that God does not hear the prayers of a defiled heart? That means if your heart's not right with God, he's not listening to your prayers. I hope he's listening to yours. But here's the thing. We can't just think that God is this cosmic Santa Claus and that we can just get whatever we wish from him. Okay? That's not how he works. We don't come to him with a gift list. But when you pray, go into your room. This is verse 6. The word room there is literally bathroom. And back then, they didn't have like bathrooms like we have. It was just another room in the house. It probably had a curtain across it and a little pot that you'd go to the bathroom in. Like a jar, not like a toilet. And so it was usually that part of the house where nobody went close to it. You know how it is when you think people can hear you in the bathroom, right? You turn on the water, you turn on the vent and hope they're not listening. They didn't have those opportunities. So this part of the house was a private part of the house. And so what Jesus is saying, get alone where it's just you and God. Get alone where it's not about people, it's not about your circumstances, it's just an opportunity for you to be alone. It says, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And here's one of my favorite verses. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." You ever heard this prayer? "Dear Lord, today, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you're great, Lord. And God, Father God, Lord, Jesus." Now, how many of you talk to your friends like that? How many of you would walk up to Zach Finley and go, "Hey, Zach, what's going on, Zach? How was school, Zach? Zach, hey, did you bring your friend, Zach? Zach, is that a Texas hat, Zach?" No, I've talked to your mom, and she doesn't call me Jason, every other word. She calls you Jacob because you quit listening to her, and she has to get your attention back. Just Jacob? That's because kids cause parents to lose brain cells. That's true. I was a Jason, my sister's a Joey, and my brother's a Joshua, and my mom would go, J-J-J-Da. Anyway. It's not. But what Jesus is saying here is the amount of words in your prayer doesn't make it more hearable to God. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of times what we do is we replace our ums with Lord or with Jesus. "Dear Jesus, Lord." And so, listen, if it's going to be conversational, we want to have a conversation with God. He knows. If you're going to call his name, number one, mean it. Don't make it a habit. And number two, make it names that are meaningful to you and to him. In those moments where it's an intimate time with you and God, call him Father. If it's a moment where you're having to confess something, call him Lord, where you're having to kneel before your Lord and confess that you've been wrong. There are hundreds of names that God has called in the Bible. Use them instead of just picking one and sticking with it. You can call him whatever you want. Just don't call him late for dinner. Just kidding. Okay? Whatever you call him, make it a sincere, genuine moment of intimacy with God. Don't think, now it's funny because one of the first churches I served in, Karen and I had been married about a year. And actually, when we first moved there, we'd been married about 3 months. And we had this little deacon that would come up and pray. I was the music minister at the church and had to wear a suit and tie and lead the choir and all that stuff. And so I would get up and we'd lead the call to worship, a rousing anthem of out of the hymnal with the piano and the organ. And Miss Doty was the organist and she had this afro. And anyway, which she didn't think it was an afro until somebody told her it was an afro and she was mad about it. But and then the deacon of the week would come up and give the invocation, invoking the presence of God. And little Willie Glenn Ray, he had, his last name was Ray and his first name was William, his middle name was Glenn. He had three first names for a name. It was awesome. But he would come up, and my first Sunday that he came up and prayed, I didn't realize what the teenagers were doing. The teenagers, we had a center aisle, and all the teenagers sat over here during worship on the first three or four rows. And Glenn Ray comes up, and he would reteach the Sunday school lesson during his prayer. And so that was annoying in and of itself because he wasn't really praying. He was giving a prayer that was meant to bless the people hearing it and not honest communication with God. But he would say, "Dear Lord." And about the second or third time he was up there praying, I look over and one of my teenagers, he was some of y'all's D&L leader, Trey Fleming. He's over there and all the kids are watching him and he's doing this. And I realize that he's counting every time little Willie Glenn Ray says, "Dear Lord." The record was 26 times in a 3-minute prayer. 26 times. 8 times a minute. Once every 12 seconds. No, once every, 6-7 seconds. It was awesome. And it got to where his prayers were distracting people. They were counting the dear Lords, and there wasn't anything communicating between he and God in it. Now, here's what I think. I don't think he had a bad heart, and I don't think that he really didn't know how to pray, but I do think he'd slipped into what we all have the danger of slipping into, a rut. He'd gotten so used to praying a certain way that that's just how he prayed, and he prayed that way all the time. I had one guy come up. His name was Preston. He came up to do the offering. We would pass plates back in the day, and people put money in it. If they didn't put enough, you could pass it back to him and tell him more. But this guy, his name was Preston, and he came up, and I would look around to see who the ushers were, and I'd say, "Well, Brother so-and-so, would you lead us in our offertory prayer?" And they never knew who I was going to pick. But I always picked the ones closest to the microphone, so they'd come up and start jockeying for position to make sure they didn't have to pray. It was funny. But Preston, he goes, "Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we beseech thee that thy would da-da-da-da-da bless this food to the nourishment of our..." And he stops and realizes we're not eating. It's worship. I mean, it's not a meal, right? And he goes, amen. And just wanders off. Okay. Probably an honest mistake, but oftentimes if the only time you pray is the same prayer at meal times, and that's what you're used to, you get into the same rut. Now here's what I'm saying. Communication with God needs to be intimate. It doesn't have to be full of words unless those words are genuine expressions of who God is to you. And don't let it slip into a rut where your prayer is the same thing over and over and over to God, because eventually your heart's not in it anymore. You're just saying words that you've really memorized. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and there were a lot of things we did in church that we did the same way every Sunday. We'd say the same thing. Somebody would chime the gong. The father would stand up and do this, and he'd say, "Peace be with you," and we'd say, "Also with you," and "Let us pray." And every time I see Star Wars and I hear them say, "May the Force be with you," I was going to say, "And also with you." But it's not, it's just... And it becomes memory, and it's just like, when this happens, this happens, and when this happens, this happens, and there's nothing genuine about it. And I'm not saying that it can't be genuine, but it runs the great risk of being mundane and repetitive. And Jesus is saying here, when you pray, get alone with your Heavenly Father and have a heartfelt talk with Him. Find out what He has for you. It's one thing to sing that he loves us, but have you heard him tell you in your prayer time lately how much he loves you? We sing, he is jealous for me. You know what that means? He desperately wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And that is most realized in prayer. One of my favorite quotes by Oswald Chambers is, prayer does not prepare us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. A lot of times we think, man, I got to pray before I do this, and I got to pray before I do that. And all of a sudden, prayer becomes just this thing that we got to do before the big stuff. Prayer is the big stuff. And so tonight, when we go to our groups, I'm not going to let you share at all. You're going to get in your groups. You're going to settle down. Your leader is going to say, all right, let's pray. And you're going to come up with a sentence or two if you're comfortable with it. If not, you can just, when I was a teenager, they used to make us, we'd finish youth on Wednesday night and we'd all hold hands. And we'd go around the circle. We called it popcorn prayer. And everybody would have one sentence to say. And if you didn't want to do it, you'd just squeeze the hand of the person next to you. And it became kind of like the wave. You'd get a squeeze and pass the squeeze on. And you'd try to guess, whoa, it got over there. They all squeezed hands. You know, it was funny. But tonight, listen, I'm not saying, okay, you must pray. Because that's no more intimate or relational with God than not praying at all. What I'm saying is, instead of getting in your groups and talking about what you want and what's going on in your life and what your needs are and blah, 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 Jesus says right here that your Father knows what you need before you ask. So let's have the right motives and the right heart, and let's just get in there and have an honest conversation with God. Pray for each other. Pray that God would reveal himself to you. You might have to sit in silence for a while just to hear God say, I love you. And so if you're sitting in there and it's silent, that's okay. We're encouraged to be still and know that he's God. So maybe tonight your group's prayer is just going to be you're going to sit silently and know that he's God. And let him fill you with a sense of his presence and his love for you. Next week, we're going to talk about what goes into a prayer. The next week, we're going to talk about some things that God might give us in response to our prayer. But let's start it off by making a commitment tonight to become people of prayer. I want to challenge you to every day this week, have a quiet time alone with God. Start your day off with this. God, I'm going to sit here for about 3 minutes, and I'm going to do my best to stay awake, and I'm going to listen for you to speak to me. And just see if he does. At the end of 3 minutes, you go, man, I didn't hear anything. It's okay. Maybe he's waiting for you to be ready to listen. Maybe he didn't have anything to say to you at that point. But let's start tonight.